Father, I just say, may our hearts and minds be open to you and the fullness of what you want to do today here in this service. Jesus, be glorified, be magnified, and Holy Spirit, move freely in our midst here in this room and wherever people are watching, that the will of God would be fully accomplished. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am glad I am born again. I would not want to live any other life. Jesus is good and faithful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, today we are beginning section 2 in laying the foundations. We will have the first two parts of section 2 today, and the next week, parts 3 and 4. And as I've shared before, and just as a little bit of a reminder, and that is, I understand fully well that those of you who have been here, either in person or attending online for, you know, a few years, what you're hearing during laying the foundations, you've heard before. It's nothing new. However, we're looking at it again from a really from a very basic foundational perspective, because this is giving you a manual that you can use to minister to other people. And along with that, you know, since this is being recorded and we have both the MP3 and the video will be available. The video available there at our YouTube website, the MP3 available for download. You know, if you know folks that, this might help them out. And in other words, you're free to make copies of these handouts and give to them if you want. Now, granted, you know, it's going to be filled out when you give it to them. My personal belief is there's something about filling it out as you listen. It just seems to embed it deeply within you. So knowing that, you can get extra copies of these handouts if you want. Just let me know, not just for you here, but those of you watching as well. So anyway, and then also, by the way, when the MP3 of these teachings, when those MP3s are uploaded, when you go to the website and you see, you know, let's say laying the foundations and so forth, and you see where it says PDF next to the title of the sermon, that PDF is the handout that we've distributed. So you can also download and print it right away if you want to at home. But anyway, section 2 is about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of section 2 is to help Christians understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Various terms have been used to describe this infilling: the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and so many others. It's extremely important that all believers, all Christians, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what church or denomination or whatever that you've been a part of, it's very important, extremely important, that all believers grasp the necessity of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that I have noticed growing up and that the Lord has really impressed upon me is the fact that, you know, there's so much confusion about this. It just, so many teachings that are out there that breed confusion. I know when I was raised in church, we believed in being born again. That was an absolute truth. However, we did not believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit as being something else that you could receive. In fact, what we taught was that when you get born again, your born-again spirit is the Holy Spirit. We did not teach that you have a spirit of your own along with soul and body. But we taught that your born-again spirit is the Holy Spirit, and that's what I believe. But one of the things that I've had to go through in my own life is a whole lot of transition in learning what's really going on. And I can tell you this, the more you search the scriptures with a hungry heart and you are teachable, you're going to see things in the Word that will refute a lot of what you've heard in the past. But it all depends on the teachability of the individual. Now, here in section 2, part 1, Jesus foretold of two events that would be available to all people once he completed his work on earth. Jesus foretold of two events that would be available to all people once he completed his work on earth. Now, one of those events is the born-again experience. One of those events is the born-again experience. And you can go ahead and turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I'm going to try and be sensitive to how long it takes to write these things out. Because what I'm looking at, everything is already filled out. So I don't have to write it. Anyway, I don't want you to have to rush. And then when you go back and look at it, you think you've written in tongues and can't interpret. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, well, I'll tell you what, back up to verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, just pause for a moment here because this is very powerful. I don't see a question in here from Nicodemus. He's making a statement. Now, Jesus knew what was coming. He says, nobody can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The question would then be, how is God with you? And how can God be with me? And so Jesus, he doesn't even wait for the question. He just answers, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now what Jesus is saying is that these miracles that you're talking about here, these miracles take place because I'm in the kingdom of God. That means that I have something in me you don't have in you. And he's also implying to Nicodemus, you're a Jew and you're a Pharisee, but you're not in the kingdom of God. Well, then Nicodemus in verse 4 says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, when we get into the section on water baptism, I'm going to go into more detail about this question that he asked and how he should have known the answer. Anyway, Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And in verse 5, where Jesus says, except a man be born of water, there are many who teach that the born of water is speaking exclusively of water baptism, but that's not what he's talking about here. He clarifies it in verse 6, where he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So being born of the water, being born of the flesh, it's the same thing. It's a natural birth. And he says, unless you're born of the Spirit, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can't be a part of it. So he's telling Nicodemus, you're not born again. And you need to be born again to be a part of the kingdom of God. The other event that Jesus speaks about is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. So he's already established. Now there's a whole lot more scripture we could go into, but we know that you can't be born again until you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Nobody could be born again until Jesus had completed his work here on earth. I mean, we covered that back in the previous section 1, what is a Christian? But the other event that Jesus spoke of is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16, and Jesus is speaking about what's going to happen after he is crucified and ultimately ascends back to the Father. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Well, very briefly, the dwelling with you, he's speaking of himself and the ministry of the Holy Spirit within him, but now he's saying that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will be in you. And in John chapter 16, in verse 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So right now, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within Jesus. And we know that because the Bible tells us, and we'll cover this later on in a little bit more detail, but Jesus was baptized in water, came up out of the water, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, he's saying that what happened to me is also going to be available to you, but I have to return to the Father. In other words, I have to complete my work here on earth. And then once that's happened, you too can be filled with the Holy Spirit or receive the Holy Ghost. Now, notice closely that Jesus describes these events differently. Jesus describes these events differently. And if you just pay attention to Scripture, and this is something that I did not do in my church growing up, and nobody really explained it to me, but if you just focus in on what the Word of God has to say, you can see what he's getting at and what he's talking about. Jesus describes these events differently. The born-again experience has to do with a spiritual change in the individual. The born-again experience has to do with a spiritual change in the individual. We covered that in the previous section, how that born-again represents a spiritual birth, and that it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that we can have that spiritual birth. The born-again experience has to do with a spiritual change in the individual. The infilling of the Holy Spirit has to do with an experience with the third person of the Godhead. It has to do with an experience with the third person of the Godhead, wherein the Holy Spirit enters and abides in a person. The infilling of the Holy Spirit has to do with an experience with the third person of the Godhead, wherein the Holy Spirit enters and abides in a person. So this right there should make it very clear to us that there is a difference between being born again and having that spiritual change and then having the Holy Spirit move in and take up residence. Now, according to the way that Jesus refers to these two events, they are not the same and take place separately from each other. According to the way that Jesus refers to these two events, they are not the same and take place separately from each other. Although a person can be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time, they are not the same event. A person can be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. And they are not, but they're not the same event. And ideally, that's the way it should work. But the problem we run into is that man, through traditions and erroneous doctrine, had just messed this up so badly that many people nowadays, especially Christians, they are afraid of the concept of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's ridiculous. But traditions have done this. Man's religion has done this because you cannot find anywhere in Scripture where anybody was afraid of having this experience with the Holy Ghost. Never. It's not in there anywhere. But because, really, over the last 2,000 years, man has drifted away from this and created their own religion as far as having a relationship with God and so forth. They left the Holy Ghost out. In fact, there was a story. I heard this man share this story. He and a friend of his were down in South America, and they were ministering at a tribe way out in the jungle. But years ago, some people had, missionaries had come in and ministered to this tribe, and they had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So this man and his friend were in there, and they were ministering to them, and they were teaching about the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Spirit and so forth, and, you know, speaking in tongues. And this went on for about a week. Well, the last night that they were there, they had another service, and they ministered. And then, because nobody had experience in filling of the Holy Spirit, no matter what they shared from Scripture, they're reading the Bible, they're reading the verses, and so on and so forth, but nobody had accepted. So the last night, he said, we were there, we were ministering, and then something happened. There was a breakthrough, and the people began getting filled all over the place. Now, we're not talking about thousands of people here, okay? We're talking maybe, you know, several hundred at the most. They're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and folks are starting speaking in tongues. And in fact, he said they were doing this all night long. It just went on all night long. Well, the next morning, the leader, some of the leaders of the tribe came to them. They said, we want to tell you about last night. So you came in and you were teaching all about the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth, and we didn't believe you. Because the people that originally came in and led us to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior translated the Bible into our language, but they left out all those verses about the Holy Spirit because they did not believe in it. And we thought you were preaching heresy. And if you noticed, last night, there were no women or children in the service because we were going to kill you after the service. Yeah. Thank God. Thank God there was a move. So this is an extreme example of people, we don't believe that's for today. And they eliminate it from the... Do you know that there's a warning in Scripture not to do that? Or you stand in severe judgment before God? I mean, thank God they led those people to accept Jesus Christ. But you just don't leave things out. Well, anyway... according to the way Jesus, you know, refers to this, you know, it's not the same event, and people can be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time, but they're not the same event. Other passages of Scripture describe the infilling of the Holy Spirit as being a separate event from and subsequent to being born again. Other passages of Scripture describe the infilling of the Holy Spirit as being a separate event from and subsequent to being born again. And we'll turn over to Acts chapter 8. I mean, you know, it's bad enough when you tell people that these passages aren't for today, but when you completely leave them out, oh my goodness. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Because what had happened, the persecution of Christians in Jerusalem was increasing, so many of them, they left Jerusalem. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So obviously, there's a difference here. These people believed, and they were baptized in water. They were born again. And we don't know how many days it was between that time when Philip was preaching and when Peter and John showed up. Well, look over in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. In verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came unto Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. It's kind of like that story I just shared a moment ago. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. It was a baptism of repentance. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So once again, we see there's a separate event taking place here. People are believing in Jesus, they're being baptized. Then after that, they're being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit plays an active role in a person being born again. He absolutely plays a very critical role in this. And you're going to see it over in Titus chapter 3. Go ahead and turn over there. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now notice closely that this verse describes the Holy Spirit as performing a renewing work in a person, not an infilling work. There's a definite difference here. The Holy Spirit performing a renewing work in a person, not an infilling work. The Greek word translated here for renewing is anakenosis, and it means to renew qualitatively in that a person is different from the past. It means to renew qualitatively in that a person is different from the past. Different from the past. And you know, we covered that in the previous section on what is a Christian. We explained how that the moment you get born again, you are not what you used to be, spiritually speaking. You are different. All things have been made new. You are a new creation, a new creature in Christ. In essence, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin and the sin nature, and the Holy Spirit performs the work necessary in which the new nature is released into us. I'll read this again. In essence, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin and the sin nature, and the Holy Spirit performs the work necessary in which the new nature is released into us. Now, all of this happens in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You're purged of the sin, washed clean of sin, purged of the sin nature, and the Holy Spirit is right there and works this renewing work on the inside of us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Now, concerning the disciples and the Holy Spirit, the Bible is very specific about what it takes to be born again. Now, look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And in verse 9. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That means Gentile, between the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See that? Now notice what it says in here. In verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice it does not say you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that. This is talking about the born again experience. Now, unless a person meets these requirements, what we just read here in Romans 10, he's not a Christian. You can say what you want, you can call yourself whatever you want, but unless you meet this standard, you are not a Christian. You are not born again, not in any way, shape, or form. Now, turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. So what we see then is that you have to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And you have to acknowledge him not only as being risen, but for who he is. Well, in Luke chapter 24, this is after the resurrection of Jesus. And he had met with a couple of people on the road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize him at first, and he's talking to them, and they're talking to him about what's happened, that Jesus had been crucified, and that they had been told that he was going to be raised from the dead, and it's the third day, and, you know, they heard stories that he had been raised from the dead. So Jesus sits down to have a meal with them, and at this time of having this meal, all of a sudden, however it worked out, they recognized who he was. And we got to read this one part here. It says, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, verse 30 of Luke 24, and broke and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Okay, wouldn't that just kind of freak you out? You're sitting there having dinner with somebody, and all of a sudden, that person is gone. He vanished, but he was eating. Now keep that in mind. He was eating, and he vanished, and he took with him everything he ate. Now, the point I'm getting at is this. He was there physically with them, and he was eating. There is something about a resurrected body that has been glorified that we do not understand. And in Luke, we pick this up in verse 36. Well, those men that he had been talking to, they ran into Jerusalem. They found the disciples in this upper room, and they begin telling them what happened. Verse 35, it says, they told what things were done and the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? Now that phrase where it says they believed not for joy, think of it like this. I can't believe this. This is incredible. This is just, I don't believe it. We've all done that. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you believe it, but you don't believe it. Well, that's what they're talking about here. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, it is unmistakably clear that the disciples were convinced that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Absolutely. They sat down, they had a meal with him. They believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and that he was indeed the Savior of the world. There's no doubt in their mind that he was indeed the Savior of the world. Therefore, we can see that the disciples met the requirements to be born again. You have to believe in your heart, and you have to confess with your mouth. Well, they're interacting with him. They're confessing with their mouth. Yeah, we know you're risen. Now, they met the requirements to be born again, but look over in John chapter 20. There's more to this. We're reading an account by Luke. Now we're going to read an account by John. In John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. This is the same event we just read about, just documented differently. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now the events in this described in this passage take place at the same time as the events in Luke 24, verses 36 through 49. And you can get even more detail about this in Mark 16, all of the Luke chapter 24, and all of John chapter 20. Now here in John, we see the first record in Scripture. The first record in Scripture of people believing on Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit enabling them to be born again. He breathed on them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not going to go way off on a tangent on this, but this is basically identical to what happened in Genesis chapter 2. Do you remember? Genesis chapter 1, God creates everything. Then he creates Adam and then, you know, takes the bone and makes Eve and so forth. But when it talks about God making Adam, it said he made him out of the dust of the earth. And then it says that God breathed into his nostrils. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, meaning a soul that has the life of God. That's what's happening here. Jesus was breathing into them. Now, there's a lot of symbolism in this. Don't have time to get into all of that, but he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. So what we see here in John is the first record in Scripture of people believing on Jesus and the record of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit enabling them to be born again. Now, Jesus told them that they would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember what we read in Luke 24. Jesus told them that they would be filled with the Holy Ghost. So here in John, we see the record of him breathing on them and him saying, Receive the Holy Ghost. But over in Luke, he says, Tarry in Jerusalem until you be filled with the Holy. See that? So, well, what is it? You know, did he do it here in John chapter 20? Or are they looking to a future event? Well, they were looking to a future event as far as being filled with the Holy Ghost. But right here is when they were born again. This was the renewing of the Holy Ghost in their lives because they had put their faith in Jesus. And so, he told them that they would be filled with the Holy Ghost. If John chapter 20, verse 22, was describing the moment they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus would never have spoken of another experience with the Holy Spirit. If John 20, verse 22, was describing the moment they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus would never have spoken of another experience with the Holy Spirit. And this is something that Christians have missed, denominations have missed, churches have missed. Because, again, what I'm sharing with you, what we're seeing in the Word of God, quite frankly, it's simple. I mean, it's obvious if you really pay attention to this and follow the order, the sequence of events, you can see that when Jesus breathed on them, it had to have been the born-again experience. It could not have been a separate or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because he then tells them, tarry in Jerusalem until. That's a future event. That's not a right here and now. That is a future event. And we'll see it later on that they did, went into Jerusalem and so forth, and they tarried. But this is, and later on in laying the foundations, we'll get into about, you know, how to study and meditate Scripture. But this is one of the reasons why it is so important. No matter what you hear, no matter what is taught, you go back to the Word of God and you leave it in context. Because to really understand the fullness of all of what is happening right here, you need to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four written accounts of this event, to really get the fullness of what God is describing in His Word concerning what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead. And when you do that, there's really not confusion. But the problem is that when you do that, and if, you know, the eyes of your understanding, you know, are open to receive, Jesus talked about he that has, you know, eyes to see, ears to hear, and so forth. Well, if that's you, and you begin to see this, you begin to realize, hold on here. You know, what took place here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay, this was not the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This had to be the born-again experience, especially when you know what Paul wrote over in Titus. See, God made it clear in His Word, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, that's Genesis to Revelation. We make huge mistakes when we pick and choose what we want to believe and apply to our lives. The entire Old Testament, you go through it over and over and over again. It's prophesying about what is coming. I'm not talking simply about Isaiah and Elijah and the other prophets. No, I'm talking about the entire Old Testament is prophesying about what is coming. And so for us to hold on to erroneous teaching, when the Word of God lays it out very clearly for us, you know, we've got a problem. Doesn't mean that, you know, we're not born again, but we've got a problem. Now, if we choose to allow the Bible to be our standard and accept without question what it says, now this is so important, so critical. If we choose to allow the Bible to be our standard and accept without question what it says, there is absolutely no other conclusion that can be arrived at other than the fact that being filled with the Holy Spirit is an event that takes place after a person is born again. Now, somebody might point out about John the Baptist. It says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Okay? Again, you have to leave this in context, because what we see in the New Testament relative to being people being filled with the Holy Spirit after being born again is totally different from what we see in the life of John the Baptist. In fact, in the Old Testament, it talks about how there were people, to kind of paraphrase, the Holy Spirit came upon them, or the Holy Spirit filled them. But it wasn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit described in the New Testament. It was a move of the Holy Spirit on the individual for a specific time and purpose. Because Jesus made the statement that the Comforter, He's been with you, but he shall be in you. In other words, he's going to dwell in you. Well, he's making a statement to what we now call the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, that never happened. It was not an all-inclusive statement. But this, what Jesus was saying, it is an all-inclusive statement, meaning he'll be available to you for this infilling. So therefore, we can see that being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Ghost, however you want to term it, as it's described in Scripture, this is a separate event from being born again. Praise God. Well, everybody go ahead and stand. And why don't you lift your hands and just begin to worship the Lord for a bit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. We bless you. We praise you. We worship you.